speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let us pray. Lord, would you be our teacher and our guide this morning? Where we need rebuke, Lord, would you rebuke us from this passage? Would you encourage us? Would you remind us where we have forgotten what your word says? In all of this, Lord, would you grow us in your grace for your glory? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've been coaching a soccer team in Oakboro for a couple of months now, and we've been practicing twice a week for about a month and a half and before the regular season started. Now, I've never coached soccer before, but I have an interest in the game. I enjoy watching it. I have since high school, and I'm familiar with the rules, and I'm familiar with the basic skills. I'm by no means an expert or proficient, but I am trying to teach it to others who are, for the most part, learning to play soccer for the very first time. And so I've been teaching them how to pass and how to dribble and how to use the four different parts of a foot to manipulate and maneuver the soccer ball, and getting them used to spreading out instead of clumping together on the soccer field. But no matter how much instruction I give them, I don't really see it bearing much fruit during the games. They do well in practice, but come game time, it's like they've forgotten everything that I've tried to teach them for the week. They're clumping on the field, they're not hustling, there's no energy, they're not remembering what I've tried to teach them. You see, I've given them words of instruction, but they haven't received it, and they're not practicing it. That's an illustration of what James is writing about in our passage before us this day. The title of the sermon is The Righteousness of God and the Word of God. And in verses 19 through 20, we see that the righteousness of God is worked into us by practicing the Word of God. The righteousness of God is worked into us by practicing the Word of God. James begins with yet another command. We are commanded to know, we are commanded to understand what he is writing and what the Spirit of God is saying to us. He wants us to be intimately familiar with this section of Scripture. And he's obviously, again, writing to the Christian church. He calls them my beloved brothers. Again, speaking to the fact that we are a spiritual family and that we are to be loving toward one another in the household of God. And James is writing as a loving pastor to his flock, his congregation that's spread out all over the known regions. Remember, they are dispersed. He's writing to them as a loving pastor, seeing them as his brothers and sisters in Christ. And one way that we are to grow in love for one another is this: let every person be quick to hear. Specifically, we are to be quick to hear the word of God. Remember last week in verse 18, James said that we have been born of the will of God. How? By the word of truth. By the gospel, God has brought us forth of his own will. And so we are to be quick to listen to the word of God. Now, if you have any familiarity with the Old Testament, you know that the Israelites rarely, if ever, did that. Listen to what God says about his people in Exodus 32, verse 8. In the midst of the golden calf episode, Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the word of God. And God says this to Moses: they have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. In other words, instead of being quick to hear the word of God, they were quick to turn away from the word of God. During the time of Judges, God says this about his people: they quickly turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Again, showing that they've turned quickly away from rather than to the word of God. The Israelites were quick to turn away from God's word. They were always quick to turn away from God, it seems. He performs miracle after miracle. He redeems them and delivers them from oppression after oppression after oppression. And what do? They fall right back into the same habits of wandering away from him. But James says we are to be quick to listen to the word of God. And through the word of God, we find that it's God's will for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that through the word, we are being changed. And more of God's character and more of his righteousness is being worked into us. But I want to go deeper here on this word here. In the Old Testament, the concept of hearing is related to obedience. You know, sometimes when I'm, to my shame, fixated upon my phone, somebody can be talking to me, my wife, my children can be talking to me, and I know that they're talking to me, but I'm not really hearing what they're saying because I'm paying attention to something else. My thoughts and my focus and my attention is upon whatever it is on my phone that is so important, or really that's not really that important at all. So my brain doesn't really process what they're saying. So physically I'm hearing, but I'm not really listening. I'm not really hearing what they are saying. Hearing the word of God is more than just physical hearing. Our minds and our hearts need to be engaged so that not only do we hear, but that we pay attention to and listen to the word of God and what he is actually saying to us. Our minds and our hearts are engaged so that we process God's word, we meditate on it, and we chew upon it, and we chew upon it some more, and we digest it, and we let his word work into us to change us, to rebuke us, to exhort us and encourage us, to comfort us, to train us in righteousness. And out of that, we seek to obey God's word. So we have to have an attentive hearing to the word of God, not just merely an external hearing, not just letting these words go through our mind and go right out the other ear, not letting these words simply be words on a page where our eyes just hit the word and move right on to the next word. We need to slow down in our reading of the word of God and pay attention and think about what it is saying. We need to pray the word of God and sing the word of God and let the word of God dwell richly in us. Alec Motier uses the example of daily Bible reading, and he writes this, quote, "It is possible to be unfailingly regular in Bible reading, but to achieve nothing more than to have moved the bookmark forward." Do you catch what he says there? You can read your Bible, and the only thing you've accomplished in reading the Bible is you've changed where your bookmark is. You haven't paid attention to it. Your mind and your heart wasn't engaged in it. You were simply glossing over the words. But we need to be quick to attentively hear the word of God. That is primary, but secondarily, we also need to be actively engaged in listening to one another. Quick to listen to one another. Remember, we're a family. James has addressed the church as his brothers. And it's not saying that the church is only male, okay? It's brothers and sisters, okay? It's using the generic masculine to encompass the whole church. You're a spiritual family. And we all have needs. And we all have hurts, and we all have struggles. And we as a people are called to be honest with one another, to care for one another, to be in the lives of each other, and to help one another. And how are we going to do that if we're not listening to our brothers and sisters? Ed Welch, in his book Side by Side, writes this: "We listen for likes and dislikes. We listen for feelings and emotions because they reveal hopes and fears, and we listen for God's place in all of it." Listen, see what I did there, to what Proverbs says about hearing. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, wisdom says, "Hear, for I will speak noble things." In other words, we're commanded to listen to wisdom, because what she's about to say is important. She says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." Wisdom is personified. It's the personification of the Word of God and His instructions to us as children. Have you ever heard of that acronym for Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth? That's what the Bible is to us. It is God's parental and fatherly instructions to you and to me as His children. Proverbs 13, verse 1, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Proverbs 18, verse 13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." We're called to truly listen to one another. That means it's going to take some time. We've got to be patient. The fact is that we are all needy people, and if we want to grow as a spiritual family, we need to be willing to admit our needs to others, and we need to truly listen to them when they are pouring their heart out to us. Can you imagine pouring your heart out to somebody and their response is they change the subject? How's that going to make you feel? Here, I've just bared my soul to you. The part of me that you cannot see, I just verbally expressed it to help you see it, and you act like you don't even care. We need to truly listen to each other when we are pouring our hearts out to one another. I am needy. You are needy. We are called in Scripture to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, to speak the truth in love to one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to pray for one another. And we can't do that if we are so focused on ourselves that we will not take the time to listen, to truly listen. James follows up, "Be quick to hear," with something else. He says, "Be slow to speak." You see, in this context, our ears are to be primary and our mouths are to be secondary. We are to be so eager to listen and so deliberate and intentional to listen that we refrain from talking. It's not about me. Somebody else is being honest. Somebody else is bearing their soul to me. And I need to pay attention. I need to put my phone down. I need to turn my ringer off. And I need to take the time to listen to what this person is saying. They're hurting. They're struggling. They're rejoicing. I want to share in that. Because it's good to have somebody to share in our struggles, to share in our hurts, and to share in our joys, is it not? You see, we cannot speak the truth in love to one another if we don't know what aspect of the truth another person needs. We cannot bear one another's burdens if we haven't listened to what their burdens are. We cannot exhort one another if we don't know where in their life they need exhortation. We can't pray for one another if we're not listening to their requests. If you take a moment, we all would admit that we want honest and deep relationships, do we not? Do we not want honest and deep relationships? How many of you are tired of shallow and surfacey relationships that aren't really relationships at all? I grow tired of those types of relationships. I do. And I bet you do too. You see, we were made for a relationship with one another. So a question for us here today at Trinity Reformed, are we a family of brothers and sisters in Christ, willing to share our needs, having that trust, being willing to be open and honest with one another, and being willing to listen and not cast that person off? We're made for a relationship because God has eternally existed in a relationship of three persons. One God, eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There has always been a relationship within the Godhead, and we are made in His image, and we are made for relationships. What was the first thing that was not good when God created? It wasn't good that man was alone. He needed relationship. The world doesn't need churchianity. We don't need churchianity where we come together and put our Facebook face forward. You know, our best face, our perfect face, the one that everybody, where everybody sees us smiling. We don't put our best face forward and don't go deep with one another and simply check church off of our to-do list. We don't need that. And the world doesn't need that. See, there are people out there who are hurting. There are people out there who are hungering for real relationships. People are more isolated today than they've ever been before. That seems backwards, does it not? Because we're more connected than we've ever been before, are we not? Through social media and our gadgets can do an endless number of things now. We're constantly on the internet. But see, social media has actually had the opposite effect. It's made people more isolated and more alone. People have substituted real relationships with online relationships, which are not really relational at all. So we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 says. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? He hasn't been quick. He hasn't been slow to speak. He's been hasty to speak. Proverbs continues, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Folks, that's not a compliment. In Proverbs, a fool is headed down the path of destruction. And yet, Proverbs says there's more hope for that fool than for one who utters hasty words without putting thought, without being intentional and deliberate with the words. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Words matter. You want to know how not to utter a careless or hasty word? Be quick to listen. Resolve in yourself that in the power and strength of God's might and His Holy Spirit, I'm going to endeavor to shut my mouth and to open my ears. And I'm preaching and I'm being harsh on myself when I say that, because I like to think that I'm the fount of all wisdom. Simon Kistemaker puts it this way when he writes, listening is the art of closing one's mouth and opening one's ears and heart. Listening is loving thy neighbor as oneself. His concerns and his problems are sufficiently important enough to be heard. So our ears are primary, our mouths are secondary, and our emotions are tertiary or third level. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why are we to be slow to anger? Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our anger, my temper, your temper, does not produce in you godly character, does not produce in me godly character. Just like you can't grow crops without working the ground or improve in soccer without receiving instruction and putting it into practice, so you cannot grow in godly character without controlling your anger, controlling your tongue, controlling your ears. Anger is like the anti-fertilizer for the spiritual life. It will hinder growth rather than help it. Proverbs 14:17 says this, "A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." When we speak or act in our anger, we're speaking and acting like a person who is headed for destruction. A fool doesn't fear the Lord. A fool is an unbeliever. And so our anger does not produce in us the Christian life that God desires of us. Daniel Doriani writes this, "Big talkers are rarely good listeners, and angry talkers may not hear a thing." How often have you found yourself regretting words that you've said in the heat of the moment? With your wife, your husband, your children, coworker, friend. We've all done it. We've lost our anger at that slow driver whom we can't pass and is going to make us late for work or for a meeting or for a get-together. I'm the chief sinner in that regard. We get angry when we catch red light after red light after red light, and it seems like the fates are arrayed against us to keep us from going wherever we're headed, even if it's just to the grocery store. We get angry when the refs make a bad call against our favorite sports team. We get angry when the church leaders make a decision we don't like, or when they don't make a decision quick enough for our liking. We get angry about so many things in life. And James says, "Let this not be the case with you, my beloved brothers." So that is practicing the Word of God. But in order to practice the Word of God, we must receive the Word of God. Verse 21, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness," or that could be translated humility, "the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." James uses the imagery of clothing here. Put away, put off your dirty rags and your filthy clothing. Stop playing in the mud and put on the righteousness of Christ. What James is saying here is that now that we are believers, now that we are saved, we have entered into a state of being and living out our life where we are to be in a constant state of putting off sin and putting on Christ. We are to take off the dirty clothing of self-centeredness and anger and careless words. And indeed, all filthiness is what James says. All filthiness and rampant or excess wickedness. Wickedness that just abounds. That has no end. Remove it. Work at, fight against it. Take it off. And receive God's word with humility. We need to let the cleansing power of God's word continue to strip us of our filthy garments. So that's more of the dazzling, white, bright garments of Christ and his righteousness can be placed upon us. You see, humbly receiving God's word, which has already been implanted into us, goes along with the process of being cleansed from evil. In order to have the righteousness of God worked into us, we have to receive the Word of God. And in order to receive the Word of God, we need to be putting to death sin in our life. If you're receiving instruction from God, you're going to be practicing His righteousness more and more. So have you ever looked at your life, and have you ever asked yourself, why am I not growing in grace? Why do I seem stagnant? Why do I seem stuck where I am in my Christian walk? Then perhaps a follow-up question you need to ask yourself is, am I truly listening to and receiving the Word of God? Is God's Word having an effect upon my life to change my character? Or are they simply words on a page, bouncing off of me and not working into my mind and into my heart. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. We just got through reading through the book of Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. It's right, the book right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 3. Look at verses 3 through 5. Now Joshua, who's the high priest at this time, not the Joshua of right after Moses, Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. It's a picture of what James is talking about here. We see the filthy garments representing sin on Joshua the high priest, and they are removed and pure clothing is placed upon him. James is in accord with Paul on this. Paul in Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to put off the old self and put on the new self. Again, Paul uses the imagery of clothing. Listen to what he writes in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and it's very similar to the wording here in James. "But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Inwardly and outwardly, we are to daily be undressing from our sin and dressing ourselves with godly character, and we do that by receiving the implanted word with humility. The imagery changes here from clothing to plants. I think just about everybody here today knows that plants and gardens need constant care. You have to water them daily and provide them with nutritious soil, and you give them fertilizer or plant food. If a plant is deprived of water and nourishment, it will die. You can't expect it to grow. And the same is true, brothers and sisters, in our spiritual lives. You cannot expect to grow in the righteousness of God if you fail to take heed and pay attention to the Word of God. The two are connected inseparably from one another. And if you are listening and receiving instruction from God through His Word, then just like plants, you will grow spiritually. This is the word, the gospel that saved you when God opened your heart to receive it, and it will continue to save it. It will continue to bring you into that state of wholeness and completion. James says so at the end of verse 21. It's able to save your souls. At the very end of time, our salvation will be complete. It will be brought to its consummation, and we will be completely free of sin and death. But right now, we have to practice it on a daily basis of putting that to death. The battle continues to rage on. If you're listening to the Word of God, you're going to be growing in the righteousness of God. If you're not listening to the Word of God, you're not going to be growing in the righteousness of God. You can't be listening and not growing, and you can't be growing and not listening. So as we draw to a close, I want you to understand this connection between the righteousness of God and the Word of God. And I want you to understand you're not able to attain the righteousness of God in your own strength and power. He's talking to Christians here, people who have already received the Spirit of God, who have been given the new birth, who have been given a heart of flesh and had their heart of stone removed. But it doesn't just stop there. The Christian life doesn't stop when you're saved. It starts when you are saved. And so we have to grow in listening to the Word of God and receiving the Word of God and letting it change us. And one way that the Word of God is going to change us is that we're putting into practice being quick to hear what others have to say and being slow to speak and being slow to anger. The Word of God must be in front of you on a daily basis. If you neglect the means that God has ordained to produce His character in you, you can't fault Him, and you can't blame Him, and you certainly, after hearing this sermon, can't plead ignorance as to why you're not growing as a Christian. And you know what? Remember, this book is in the context of trials. It's all about people who have been scattered and persecuted. If you're not growing stronger as a Christian, why do you think you would ever be able to endure and persevere during a hard time? You can't expect to win a soccer game by merely showing up on the field. You have to practice, you have to listen to your coach, and you have to train diligently according to what the coach is teaching you. You can't expect to win on the spiritual battlefield if you're not listening to the Word of God, receiving it, and putting it into practice. Amen and amen.